Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Vegas studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here on a cold, chilly, smoky-filled day. Colorado is burning. Hell, the whole ass half of the country is on fire. But maybe it'll snow. Snow would be nice. I really love the snow. I love the snow in Halloween, especially. Growing up as a kid, that seems like always. I can never remember as a kid Halloween without snow in it. You know, those cheap little plastic masks frozen to your face because you're sweating under the mask, but it's cold and it just freezes and you've got those hard, rigid plastic costumes and mom and dad are driving you from door to door or at least neighborhood to neighborhood because, you know, they're so far spaced out. And yeah, it was fun. I would do it again in a heartbeat. Yeah, I remember just going and picking out, like, you know, the little the boxes that had the little plastic window to see through for whose, you know, costume you were buying. Costumes have come so far. Wow, Spirit of Halloween, you ruined it. Everyone wants fancy costumes. Cheap ones are gone. Anyway, I digress. Smurf here, and I want to thank our sponsor, Suzy Q's, who is a spectacularly talented jewelry maker, fastener of things that are pretty. She is actually unveiling some new works on her Instagram page. Flip on over there to check it out, or just go to her website, SuzyQs.com, to see what her latest creations are. Start planning for Christmas, because October's basically about done, and that gives us just a few weeks before Black Friday and the streaming day. I always forget that one. Because I don't acknowledge that as an event anymore. Because you can just shop online anytime. I know there's supposed to be some ridiculous deals, but it's not like Black Friday where I remember back in the day people lining up and you having to like give like ticket numbers to people so they don't stampede and just slaughter everybody in their way trying to get the latest Tickle Me Elmo. Things have changed so drastically. Hope today finds you well, and there is lots going on. There is and there isn't, so there's stuff to get to. And I was kind of like scratching my head thinking of what I really wanted to talk about this week for the podcast, because there's stuff that's going on, but it's kind of like, well, that is news, but it's not like, you know, spectacular news, because that's what we try to focus on, things that are just kind of eye-catching or stuff that makes you go, So this week it's been kind of like somewhat revealing, some stuff kind of like, okay, I guess I can see that. Still a lot of rumors floating around, because that's kind of all we've got to go on with everybody still kind of in this weird void of work, no work, productions on, productions not on, people getting the Rona, people not getting the Rona. So it's a weird time to being a geek. It's a weird time for everybody, not just geeks. The world around, it is just weird. But it didn't stop us. No, we did take precautions. We did work tirelessly to make sure everyone was safe. But we did start production of Shoot From the Hip 3. We've got some press photos that will be coming out soon. Yours truly reprises his role as Juice Jones, the ever-impressive detective that takes Swivel Hip Smith underneath his wing to teach him the right ways of policing in a very dangerous world. No, it is not a porn. It is tongue-in-cheek humor that is just really, it's really just out there. So Shoot From the Hip 1 and 2 are out there. I know I've seen them. Maybe I will put something up so that people can actually see the first two, but I know that there are plans when we finish Shoot From the Hip 3 to put them all together as a awkward trilogy And, yeah. Anyway, I will post up a picture on our Instagram of me. It's just really just me in my leather jacket. But it's surprising how close the Juice Jones character just looks like me. There's not a whole lot of makeup involved. Maybe a haircut or two. Just, you know, just me. It's funny. Anyway, check out for that. We will be doing more production stuff. There will be some more scenes shot shortly. But we had to take advantage of some of our talent while they were still in town to get some stuff in the can. So, adventure's at its best. What else? So, with the rest of the world going on, we did finally get to see the premiere Thursday of Star Trek Discovery. Oh, holy crap. Holy balls. I have to say, now no spoilers, of course, because it's just started, and I know everyone is on a different streaming schedule, and it hasn't been a full week yet, so we will avoid doing spoilers. I'm also going to avoid doing a shakedown on this just yet, and you may just see an actual Smurfs take right up on the 5280 page for this, because I'm really compelled to just see this all the way through before I say anything, because it was so impressive, the thought process and everything that they got going on for this, that I'm really curious to see how they're going to write this season, because they're like in the year 3189, and there's been like this event they call the Burn. And they go into further details as far as what the Burn is, and it happened about 100 years prior to Discovery landing in the time that they have. So there's a lot of like speculation of what's going on, what happened in the Federation has fallen, and space travel is still there, but it's been diminished, and there's still issues. So I absolutely loved the first episode. CBS streaming, of course, has it. There are a couple of other pirate sites that you can visit, that you could, you know, check it out if you're not interested in doing the streaming service from CBS. But the more and more that I see what CBS has got coming, of course, another season, Picard. Rumors flying around about Janeway getting her own series, which I really hope they avoid. As much as I liked Voyager, I don't really care to see Janeway back in a captain's chair. Her Kate Muldrew's voice just annoys the shit out of me. I didn't like her captain. Maybe it's just because her voice. Maybe because it was just kind of I don't know. There's a lot of reasons why I didn't like the show. There's a lot of reasons why I did like the show. But all in all, I don't want to see her character come back. Maybe as like a guest appearance in Picard, that would be fine. She wouldn't be as heavily involved then, and I don't have to listen to her talk that much. I would be happy with that. And we've got 7 of 9 in Picard. We don't need the rest of the Discovery crew bouncing along. Picardo would be fun just to see the hologram doctor. But besides that, back on track. Discovery, absolutely spectacular. And Doug Jones is just, I love that man. And his character is so, actually all the characters on Discovery I really do enjoy. This show has turned out to be a much bigger hit for me than I originally thought. I, like all the rest of everyone, was like, nah, it's not Star Trek. Nope. It's Star Trek. It's really good. I really enjoy it. So they've set up the new catastrophe. There's this event that they call the Burn. There's the risk of it happening again, because they're not exactly sure why it happened in the first place. So Michael and crew are now set to figure it out, make things right. And will we see them return back to their own time is like the big question. Are they so far flung into the future? Is there any way back? And I mean, because this predates any of the other, you know, Enterprise time jumps. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm very excited, but it has turned out to be quite the so good. And speaking of Doug Jones, so a lot of people are unaware that Doug Jones, I think this was his first real acting gig, was Hocus Pocus. He was the kid that was, you know, at the end of, or not the end of the movie, but he was the one that was the virgin that was tied up. He was, God, I can't think of his character's name at the moment. It was Billy. That's it. Billy was his character name, but he was, had the strings on his lips and all of that, and just kind of looked like a zombie, but he wasn't really a zombie. He was kind of like a ghoul. But anyway, he is helping out with Bette Midler's Hocus Pocus little sequel that they're doing. So I guess Bette Midler usually has this huge Halloween extravaganza, but because of everything that is going on, she's unable to hold the event. So what she's ended up doing is getting Sarah Jessica Parker and Kathy, the other two witches that were in Hocus Pocus, to do some Halloween virtual event that's taking place on October 30th. So this looks awesome. I'm excited to see, because the press photos that I got, they look like time has basically stood still. They're in makeup. They're totally reminiscent of this movie that happened, I think it was like, what, back in the 90s? Was it? 25 years, maybe? 93 is when this actually originally came out. So it's fun to see them back in the gear, back doing this horror film that I think has a soft spot in everybody's heart, because it was just so whimsical and fun and something that was kind of unexpected, just like Monster Squad. I kind of hold Hocus Pocus and Monster Squad kind of in the same category for me because of just how well it was put together and just kind of fun for the event. So everyone's been rumoring of a return for the film, which is not going to happen. They're only returning for the one night only that's going to take place on the 30th. The event being called In Search of the Sanderson Sisters, a Hocus Pocus Halloween Takeover. And it's basically, I know, I haven't gotten too much information as far as what all it's going to imprise, but there are tickets available for the virtual event at $10. Everything that they raise is to benefit NYRP. It's an organization that Bette Midler has backed since 1995 and will help preserve open green spaces in New York City. And trust me, there's not a lot of open green spaces in New York City. So it's a great cause, and it's only $10. I've spent $10 on a lot more frivolous things, and this is cheaper than watching Mulan on Disney Plus. So and this would probably be a lot more fun. I'm curious. I know I'm gonna pay for it. I'm gonna jump in, and you can check it out. I know that there are, where to find it is the other question. I think there's actually a link on her Facebook page that you can go check it out, and I know that I can't see. Yep, go to her webpage, go to her Facebook page, that's the best place to find it, or her Instagram, and get in on this. I think it'll be fun, especially for Halloween, because I don't think it's not true. I know for the 30th I will be at Outworld Brewer for their trivia night. There will be some Ghostbuster swag from Colorado Ghostbusters available for answering questions correctly. And I will be out for the 31st. Just don't know where yet. Everyone needs a Ghostbuster on Halloween. Go figure. So, also speaking of rumors earlier, and I've been kind of avoiding this story just because I wanted to get more information, and it looks like there's more to come out. See what happens when you're patient. You get to know and learn more.
The more you know.
The HBO Max has been, I don't know, a thorn in my side, and I've wrestled with it just because, you know, waiting to see what is going to happen with the merger with them and DC doing all of their projects. And, of course, them greenlighting a Green Lantern show. See what I did there? The fact that they got the go-ahead to create this show was a bit of a shock, but it's not. I mean, if it's there's one character that you could probably do a lot of stories about on different worlds and different characters and a very overreaching story arc, it's definitely the Green Lanterns. And the question, of course, that everyone was asking is who are going to be the Green Lanterns? Which characters will they focus on for the first season? Now, everyone, of course, a lot of us, namely me, still has that rotten taste in their mouth from the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern film. And for good and for bad, there were some stupid stuff. But to see Sinestro and the Green Lantern Corps and this vision of Oa that they created was fun. It was cool, even though I don't know if Ryan Reynolds was the best choice for Hal. I'm still kind of leaning towards like Nathan Fillion, but you know, that's just me. But you know, I love Ryan Reynolds and wanted to give it the benefit of the doubt. With that said, with HBO Max series, they have named which Green Lanterns are going to use. And I don't know if I agree, if I disagree, or how I want to approach this. Of course, they're going to use Guy Gardner, which I think as a storytelling device that works extremely well just because of what they have done with Gardner over the last couple of years. And I never thought I would say that. Gardner, in my mind, has always been kind of, I don't know, a shithead. It wasn't until like Ron Mars started drawing or writing for him and all of that. Jeff Johns was doing him for Green Lantern, that I really started to kind of gravitate towards Guy. His motivations and everything actually became a little bit more solid, and his role as a support and, you know, always the last one standing and, you know, giving it his all and all of that is honorable. And he's actually a far more complex character than originally I think they ever intended for him to be. And of course, I think he kind of grew on me with more of his interactions with Kyle and all of that. So Guy Gardner is in addition to Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern, which raises the question of how they're going to approach this with the CW hinting that the Green Lantern or Alan Scott is still around with his battery sitting in Stargirl's bag. So, Alan Scott basically crafted his own battery, and there are different rules that apply to his Green Lantern ring, namely the weakness against wood and everything that kind of goes along with it. It's more of mystic, and I don't know, they may change that up. I don't know how they're going to approach it, but Alan Scott's Green Lantern ring is a wee bit different than the Green Lanterns that we're used to. But still, he is a Green Lantern. So he's going to be in there. And I'm wondering if it's going to be more of kind of like flashbacks since, I mean, Alan Scott dates back to, I think he was first created in 1940, if my facts are correct in my head. And was the running Green Lantern until, of course, the new Corps was created. And we get Hal Jordan and that whole the whole new mythos when they relaunched it into the Silver Age of comics. So Alan Scott would be kind of fun. I don't actually, thinking about it, it would be kind of like neat to see them kind of bridge between the then and the now. And to do the now, they have decided to pull Jessica Cruz and Simon Baz as the two main Green Lanterns. And now these guys were created more recently with the New 52. So not exactly my favorite Green Lanterns, only because there's not as much history, and they work together well as a team. I was never really sold on the Simon Baz Green Lantern because, of course, he's carrying a gun because he thinks, you know, when his ring runs out of power, he needs to defend himself. So, you know, sporting a gun. And, I mean, sure, I guess. I don't really want to say anything against that premise. I mean, I get it, but you're in space, dude. What's a gun going to do against a laser gun? I mean, come on. Or a plasma cannon, or you're floating in space. Again, what's a gun going to do? That being said, it's fine. It is a new generation that they're trying to reach, and of course, maybe Hal isn't the vehicle that they want to use. However, I think this is only because that they're still working on the Green Lantern film. And that's, I guess, a work in progress, because you're missing, with this batch of characters, you're missing more of the Hal and John Stewart. John Stewart, I'm fine with. I never liked his character and his wishy-washy back and forth and his time with the Dark Stars. And I was never been sold on John Stewart as a Green Lantern. But I am upset that they're not at least trying to bring in Kyle to kind of do the buddy cop thing with him and Guy. In addition to, I know Hal being like the poster child for the greatest Green Lantern that ever lived, and next, of course, to Sinestro, but he has always been the focal point. So moving it off of Hal and taking a different perspective might be fun and entertaining. And if they are doing the film, those two characters, John Stewart and Hal Jordan, make perfect sense to have as the main characters for the relaunch or whatever DC's got going on. Because I know the Snyder Cut had a lot more to kind of dabble in what was going on with the Green Lanterns, the Green Lantern Corps, in addition to dealing with Darkseid. So we may still see that, and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that that is the case. The other two characters for this that have been announced, of course, is Sinestro and Kilowog. And you can't have a Green Lantern film without Kilowog. It's like having the X-Men without Wolverine. It just doesn't make sense. He is the linchpin for the core. You need Kilowog. And of course, Sinestro, they're saying, is going to enter in as a Green Lantern. So we may see, like we did in the film, this overarching story of him going from a Green Lantern to inventing or coming in possession of the Yellow Lantern and creating, you know, the Sinestro Corps, which, again, is awesome. So there's a lot of questions that go unanswered with this. One of those unanswered questions is John Diggle from the Arrowverse. And, of course, the final scenes of whatever's falling from Earth that crashes, that opens, you know, into the ground. He pulls out the box, opens it, and there's this green light. And him, you know, finally getting his ring that, you know, we get hints about from John Wesley Shipp's flash of, where's your ring, John? Which was kind of cool. It was kind of a neat little nod and kind of like, wait a minute, huh? The whole idea that Diggle, I honestly think we'll see Diggle either show up in the new Superman series, and maybe he will bridge over into the new Stargirl series, which is staying on the CW, much to everyone's happiness. Maybe he'll even make a final appearance with Supergirl. We don't know where that's going to go, but I will bet we have not seen the last of Diggle's Green Lantern escapades or potential or whatever that last final moment was. Unless it was kryptonite in a lead box. Then that's an entirely different story. So there you have it. Other rumors that kind of actually have come to fruition. Now, whether or not this actually follows through is, I'm curious to see. I'm excited to see if this actually does happen. But according to an article on The Wrap, Legendary is planning to bring back Buck Rogers, which I think is spectacular. Evidently, they acquired the film rights and not only are going to do a whole new movie, but they're also talking about doing an animated series for the, you know, time-skipping, hibernating astronaut Buck Rogers as he, you know, goes into this weird orbit, freezes him, wakes up, you know, in the future, and it's actually a favorite. The show only lasted 2 seasons, but they were, I mean, that first season is tremendously long, and the second season where they're on the ship going out and to explore far, you know, reaches of outer space, you get Hawk from the Hawk people to join them, and I mean, there were some great episodes out of the second series, but always the first series is probably, the first season is by far the best. It's so quirky, and of course the sets were, you know, from Battlestar Galactica, and it was fun, and I don't know if we need an update. I mean, it would probably be fun. It would probably, actually, seeing Buck Rogers get the Battlestar Galactica treatment, I think would be extremely enjoyable. And maybe, you know, as they are out exploring deep space, they come across Buck's pod, and, you know, the story starts from there. I want more. I'm excited to see this. There isn't a whole lot of details on it as far as when production is going to start, with everything going on, of course, but just to kind of see this and kind of fantasize about the idea of, you know, hey, Buck, just coming back. They got to get Gil Gerard to at least make an appearance. Maybe he can be Dr. Hewer. I don't know. It would be awesome. Just an appearance. Just once. Other TV news, which I was shocked. I honestly thought this was fake news, but it is not. Showtime is bringing back Dexter. Michael C. Hall has signed on for a 10-episode limited series reprising his role as Dexter. And all I gotta say is, wow. Just, wow. The series end sucked. He kills Deb. I know, spoilers. Sorry. If you haven't watched it by now, come on. Get with the program. Especially with all this downtime. What have you been streaming? Anyway, the death of his sister, him hiding out in, you know, Alaska or wherever frozen north part of the world that he ended up in, and it was just a horrible end to the whole series. It just kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say it was a mockery of it, but I just was not happy at the end, especially for a show that was just so groundbreaking and so creative. And, of course, the best season is the one with John Lithgow. And it was kind of hard to come back. In fact, they probably should have ended the series with Lithgow. But, of course, they press on and end up, well, I don't want to say ruining it, but it could have ended stronger. At any rate, with these 10 episodes that Showtime is going to produce, raises the questions of, ooh, so this could be, you know, does Dexter die at the end? Is it kind of like, what's been going on? Does he come back? Because all of his friends, his family, all think that he's dead. So is he been doing, you know, his thing? Has the Bay Harbor Butcher moved to, you know, the middle of the Ozarks and has been systematically killing off poachers? I mean, what does a serial killer do? Kill in the middle of nowhere, which is an excellent question. So, and is his dark passenger been sitting there the whole time just filling his head with nonsense? And just, there's so many questions. This really is cool. This is really cool. I'm excited to see what Showtime does with 10 episodes. That's a lot of storytelling. There's so much potential. And I don't know if I want to see them come back. Maybe Dexter's dark passenger is replaced with his sister instead of his dad, which would really be kind of a fun twist. So that's, I'm excited just to see what they come up with, because this could be huge. This could be great. I mean, it will premiere sometime in the fall of 2021 is what Showtime is saying. So that means they probably at least have some kind of filming done, I would think. Just difficult to say on that, because I know there's not like a whole lot of special effects involved, but I mean, I would still think the murder scenes take a little bit of creativity and some time to put together. So Who is Dexter's dark passenger? That is the question. I really hope it's Deb. That would be delicious. Absolutely perfect, in my opinion. Also, the rumor mill that has finally come to a truth. Over the years, everyone has always wondered or speculated about a Willow sequel or something, because everybody loved this film. And I was in there when I watched it as a kid. I really did enjoy it. Of course, it was directed by Ron Howard, and it was written by Steven Spielberg. So, of course, there are some great storytelling elements in there. But I think the more of like the jabs of, you know, Val Kilmer, and then of course the witch turning into the goat, which is always Willow, is always in my head, because as soon as you say as soon as you say the movie, that's all I think about. That's immediately where my mind goes, Willow. But it looks like Disney Plus has stepped in and. Yeah, we're seeing a series. So it is bringing back Kathleen Kennedy. Excuse me. Hold on. Let me back up. So actually, the only one that I know for sure is Warwick Davis, who played Willow, is coming back to the character and to continue the story. There were books that they put out a few years afterwards that were published between 1995 and 2000, written by, of course, Chris Claremont and George Lucas, that takes place years after what we saw in the film. So I don't know if they're going to take on that storyline, if there's going to be something else that we'll see different from that. I never read the books, even though it's written by Chris Claremont, of X-Men fame, and Marvel writer extraordinaire. Of course, Excalibur, I think, was also an X-Factor. Yeah, I mean, he's like the major influencer of the X-books during their prime time. So him writing the follow-up to Willow, I'm sure it did not disappoint. But I never read them, so maybe now I've got a goal to see what happens. I'm not sure what story we will see from Disney Plus or how many episodes that we will see for the series. Just that DC Plus has announced that they're going to do it is, I don't know, I think kind of inventive. Disney's at least finally doing some interesting stuff. I think what has happened is they saw the success of The Mandalorian and they're trying to recreate that. Let's face it, that has been one of the best things about Disney Plus. Not only seeing yes, I know all of the cartoons from back in the day and a few movies that have, you know, slipped through the cracks. You're like, oh, I remember that, like, you know, The Computer That Wore Tennis Shoes or something like that. That's fine. But I think the true meat of it is that they're seeing what is absolutely potential if they throw some money at a decent project. And how that can affect it. And why not do Willow? I'm sure Ron Howard would maybe come back and direct some. I don't know what Ron Howard's even doing these days, to be honest with you. But the chance to revisit all of that in Willow's world, it seemed just so untapped. Because there was just so much there that they never really got to. So I think it's an actual, absolutely perfect landscape for a series. It's better than some of the other series that I'm sure, like, we've seen on Netflix, because I know a few shows have already been whacked that barely made it past their first season. Hilary Swank's space opera that they were working on, I know that got nixed already. That was kind of boring anyway. I was kind of like, eh. But anyway, Disney sees the potential. We will see a Willow. And I'm sure, also, in Disney news, the season premiere for DuckTales Season 3 has started. It's an hour special with Darkwing Duck, and it is spectacular. I loved it. It was it was the absolute perfect sense, nonsense, and perfect sense of all of the DuckTales characters that I expected, especially bringing back some of Darkwing Duck's villains. Got to see Bushroot again. I mean, the old cartoons are hokey as hell, but to see them kind of brought back into the, you know, updated and a fresh coat of paint, if you will, is absolutely enjoyable. I loved it to pieces. And of course, Gizmo Duck in all of his shining glory is in there. And we get kind of hints at other things that are going on, especially with the new super evil agency of Fowl. And it was, you know what? It was perfect. And I can't say anything against that. I want more. Want more, want more. So I'm sure Disney is going to, and there's rumors of them doing offshoots from the series, from DuckTales, because they've slowly kind of introduced and integrated some of the characters from back in the day. We've actually even seen an update of Goofy coming and visiting Donald Duck to talk about things. And, of course, his son from Goof Troop, he shows him pictures. So it's kind of, I'm impressed with the inventive, creative side that Disney's trying to show with, you know, this kind of incentive. And with, you know, Warner Brothers also trying to figure out, okay, so there is a market, and then bringing Animaniacs to Hulu, which I talked about last week. This is perfect. I'm really on board for this kind of just fun storytelling, just kind of, you know, quirky. And it works. So if I get a Gizmo Duck series, oh, all in, baby. All in. And I want to voice a character. I'm gonna do everything I can to voice a character. I don't care who. He can get squashed. I can just make a noise. I don't really care. All I want to do is voice a character. Please. Somebody. Greg. Somebody. Get me in there. So all of that going on, and now we've got Willow. I'm on the fence because I think this could be really amazing and kind of like Dungeons and Dragons meets Game of Thrones, and what we always really kind of wanted Game of Thrones to be, with more of like, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons aspect of it. You know, of course it's Disney, so there'll be a lot less, you know, sex and dick scenes, which I don't know, maybe good. I don't know if that was the selling point for Game of Thrones of who do we get to see naked this week. But it's still, you know, that's kind of like the lore and everything that goes with it, the magic, the everything that went with all of that. So please give me a chance to voice a character just once. Just once. Sorry, I went back to DuckTales right away. Flashback. Anyway. No dates, no information, no who all or anything like that, but I am, fingers crossed, getting more information as it comes available, and there you go. What else? This was interesting, and this is probably a toy hunter's, well, even just like, even not only a toy hunter, but just a memorabilia, gold dream, happy dream. I mean, this is wow. Rankin and Bass's Rudolph and Santa figures from the 1964's Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer are going up for auction, and I could sell everything I own just to get these two pieces, but most likely, I think they're probably going to go for higher than what they're anticipating. These are the actual puppets that they used in the special, and I remember this so fondly with the, you know, like the claymation and, you know, the moving, and it was fun. Now I remember, I think it was Hollywood Treasures that I remember them doing a spotlight on the guy that owned these, and I don't remember if he put them up for sale in that episode, because it's been so long since I watched it, but it's still, I mean, this is just, wow. I never thought in a million years that it would, you know, be up for sale, but according to guesstimations and everything, they're guesstimating the value at $150,000 per character. Oh, no, excuse me, for the set. The set is 150 thou, which, I don't know, seems kind of, I think that's kind of low, in my opinion. But they're ranging it, okay? So they're saying 150 to 250,000. I still think that's low, considering what we've seen, like, props for the Avengers and Iron Man and some of the other things that have gone up on the auction block. What was the Ruby slippers? Like, a million plus? So I really think that this is being conservative when you're looking at a price, in my opinion. So the auction is set for November 14th. Excuse me. November 13th, 2020. The auction will go up from the collection of Peter Lutero. That might be the individual that I'm thinking of for Hollywood treasures. It was a cool episode, and just to see him pull these fragile props out. They do come with a Christmas scene that, you know, to display them. I don't know if you'd want to display these, because I'm wondering how durable they are at this point, especially since these were crafted in 1964. I mean, come on. I mean, I've seen toys from the 90s not hold up that well. So you're talking about some fragile, like, crafted puppets? Yikes. I don't know. I would probably get some airtight cased seal on these little guys and just put them in a dark room so no light hits them and fades them. But especially if you're spending, you know, $250,000 on a couple of action figures, yeah, you better believe those puppies are not seeing any sunlight. Will I throw in for a bit on this? Yes, I will. I'm going to try. I'm going to give it my best. I'm still pissed off that I didn't get Captain America's motorcycle when we were doing the bidding in Chicago years and years and years ago when we were hanging out with Josh Gates. So that is, yeah, I'm going to try. What the hell? I got nothing else to do. Nothing else to spend my money on. Keep an eye on the auction. I'll let you know how I fare. I'm sure that this is going to go $4. My guess, at least a mil. At least a mil for the pair. As a guess. Come on, the Ruby slippers? Just as iconic, if not more. And then, of course, you know, you buy them, you take it home, you seal them, and then your grandkids get a hold of them and play, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer roller derby, and, you know, there goes an antler or a hoof. I just see it going so bad. Just that would be sad. It would be tragic. What else is going on? In the world of collectibles, not too much. The G.I. Joe figures are on fire these days. And Transformers, they've got the new line coming out. The Super 7 Thundercats line is got Series 4 pre-orders right now. And those are a true work of art in the regards of action figures. If you're big on toys and action figures, I would definitely start looking towards Super 7 after they got the Mattel license. Of course, the first series are just remolds and recasts of the first line, but what they have added after that has been pretty impressive. I got a couple pre-orders and some figures. Definitely got a couple out of this new Series 4. The Mum-Raw one with the mummy and the cape. Oh, yeah, it's not like Mum-Raw, you know, ancient evil tall guy. It's the little Mum-Raw in the bandages and the cape. He's actually amazing. Ah, I love that character. He and his cape, it's like you got a solid hard plastic cape, and then you've got like one of the like cloth capes that you can shape and move around for the transformation scene, the cloak. It's cool. It's fun. What Super 7 is doing is very, very inspiring. So keep up the good work. Now if we can get them to do Silverhawks, I'm set. All good. So, also in collector's news, we will slip over to comics. DC is really doing a number on Batman and everything that's going on with that. So with Batman, we finally get the end of the Joker War. No spoilers. And my opinion is still kind of on the fence. But DC has decided that they're doing a whole new storyline starting January 2021. DC Future State reveals that the next Batman, the fate of Bruce Wayne, and a whole new line of titles. So basically what DC is doing is we're jumping forward kind of like what they did in year one back in the early aughts, where like a whole year transpired that we just leapt forward and everybody was different, things had changed, and they filled in the roots kind of along the way. So the whole premise of this is basically they're going to be doing a bunch of different titles that take place a couple of years into the future to, I don't know, just, I'm not sure why they're doing this, to be honest with you. Instead of just taking a normal progression for the story, they're taking this leap forward, explaining things that happen in the not-so-far future, and then coming back to our timeline. These are events that they're setting up in the whole new future's storyline will come to pass, is what they're saying. This is a setup. But then when you look at like the New 52 and when they relaunched that and they had some great stories and then all of a sudden they just abandoned it, I'm worried about this being the exact same thing. So whatever future state that they're going to do, okay. I mean, reading this, I'm kind of like, okay, Bruce Wayne is dead, but he's not. So, you know, kind of just fallout from the Joker War. But, I mean, the bigger story out of these is the two Batgirls. So Cassandra Cain and Stephanie Brown are supposed to be the Batgirls, and Outsiders is led by Kitana, which is the kind of the two big main takeaways from this that I'm seeing as far as future. Other than that, I'm just kind of like, okay, we've already been down there. The standalone stories will begin in January and finish in February. And then everything goes back to normal in March. So it's just going to be like this onslaught of the senses with stories to explain something that's coming, that they're setting up for the future, when they could just continue the stories and just set up the future. Nothing's wrong with having, you know, a roadmap or, you know, just leading up to something, but nah, we'll just show you and then let you guess on how we're gonna get there. Which, okay. I mean, at the end of Joker War, we do see Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, kind of go back into her old Oracle role. Of course, you know, she's not in the wheelchair. She, you know, we didn't go back down that road, but she just kind of took a quarterback role in the final onslaught and the close to that story arc. So that wasn't that far of a reach. Of course, we get Nightwing back, which is spectacular. I mean, we finally got the right Nightwing, but I would like to see a natural progression or a story told from Batman's view of starting out from the bottom. And maybe this is just too difficult for them to do, or they're trying to figure out how to do it to evolve Batman past the Batman we know. Because all I've seen for the initial sketches is he kind of looks like he's in riot gear, or, you know, he's like an option in the Street Fighter game. I really don't understand why, but okay. I know they want to get as far away from, you know, the Batman, quote unquote, with the appearance of Bruce Wayne dying and all of that. So, okay, sure. Maybe, you know, they've got a better idea in their minds and what they're kind of showing us, but I don't know. Just take us through, tell us a story. Don't dazzle us with filler art and lots of explosions. Yeah, what I said. Not so many explosions. Just tell us a story. Really. We'd like it. And in video game news, everything's kind of quiet. The new skins that are available for Overwatch have been fun. Frankenstein's Revenge it's fun to play. I enjoy the hell out of it. So new achievements every week, as well as new alternate skins on Overwatch. So go check that out if you're a huge Overwatch fan. There was some information that was kind of leaked out in regards to the new Miles Morales story video game that will be coming out for PlayStation. Again, kind of pissed that this is only going to be available for PlayStation. It is picking up after the Silver Lining 2019 DLC that was going on, and it looks kind of cool. I'm excited to see it. It's geared specifically for the new PlayStation 5. There is some fun interactions, and I guess Miles does have like this, I don't know, interesting text conversation between him and Peter. So Peter Parker's still around. I don't know if he's going to be a playable character, but since this is primarily focused in on Miles and his story and all that, but I'm curious to see how this turns out. I want more. I'm actually wanting to play this game, but I don't know if I'm going to buy a PS5. I don't know if I'm going to buy a new console yet. Damn it. I know. I should just make my decision and just roll with it. And I know it's probably going to be Xbox. It always is Xbox. My brother will end up with the PS5, and I'll just go bug him and play his. That's usually how it works out. What else? That is kind of it this week. Like I said, there are just some interesting stories to kind of keep your geek fix going. We're rapidly approaching the final stretch to 2020, thank God. And Halloween is just a simple, 11 days away now. So we're quickly approaching the end of October. More news to come up. We also will be doing our annual toy and food drive, where everything we raise benefits Feeding Denver's Hungry. We will be holding that December 5th at the Feeding Denver Hungry warehouse, which is right next door to the Mile High Comics on Jason Street. So more news about that. We also do have it up on our calendar. So if you would like to donate, by all means, reach out to us, send us a message. If you would like the Ghostbusters to come and retrieve your donations, that can absolutely be made possible to you. And then we'd sit and take pictures, and, you know, the kids love us. It's great. What else? That kind of wraps up this week. So, like I said, a lot, but not so much. If you've got comments, questions, or things that you would like to know, by all means, please shoot me a direct message. The line is always open. Like us, share us. We appreciate you giving us a listen. And in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.